Everyone has questions. Why am I here? Where will I go when I die? Is there really truth? But not everyone has biblical answers. Welcome to the Pastor Study, a ministry of pastorstudy.org. Join us now as we study the Bible to draw closer to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Here is Pastor Tom Brock.
Welcome to the Pastor's Study. Before 1492 and Columbus discovered America, the coat of arms of Spain read in Latin, ne plus ultra, which means nothing more beyond, because Spain was the westernmost of the European nations and they thought nothing lay beyond Spain. Then Columbus discovers America, comes back, and they change the coat of arms. They drop the ne to just plus ultra, which means there is something beyond. You could say that before Jesus rose from the dead, the sign over death read, ne plus ultra. There's nothing more beyond because nobody knew. But after Jesus goes into the grave for 3 days, comes back out, he proclaims, plus ultra, there is something beyond the grave. One of my favorite hymns is, because he lives, I can face tomorrow, because he lives, all fear is gone. And what we're going to do in this half hour is share with you five things that are true because he rose, because he lives. Let's pray first. Father, we pray that if anybody's watching this show, they're kind of down in the dumps, that the fact that Jesus rose from the dead will raise them out of the doldrums today. God, speak to us about the wonderful things that are true because of Christ's resurrection from the dead. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Five things that are true because Jesus rose from the dead. Number one, Jesus must be God. I was at a movie, and I'm sitting next to this younger couple, and we had time before the movie, so we started talking. They're Jehovah's Witnesses. They believe Jesus is not God. He's kind of a Superman, but he's not God. And their point kind of is, the Bible says God raised Jesus from the dead. Well, how can Jesus be God if God raised Jesus from the dead? Well, let's talk about that. Does the Bible teach that God the Father raised Jesus from the dead? The answer is yes. But do you know the Bible also teaches this? Listen to this. John chapter 10, Jesus said, quote, I lay down my life that I may take it again. No one has taken it away from me, but I lay it down on my own initiative. I have authority to lay it down, and I have authority to take it up again. John chapter 2, Jesus said to the Jews, destroy this temple, my body, and in 3 days I will raise it again. So, does the Bible teach that God the Father raised Jesus from the dead? Yes. Does it teach that Jesus raised himself from the dead? Yes, because Jesus is God, one with the Father and the Spirit, one God in three persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And what I point out to the Jehovah's Witnesses, after Jesus rose from the dead in John chapter 20, Thomas looks at Jesus and says, my Lord and my God. Thomas calls Jesus God. And Jesus doesn't say, whoops, Thomas, you've made a mistake. He just says you should have believed it without seeing it. So one thing that is true because Jesus rose from the dead, Jesus is God, because nobody can pull that off who's a mere human. Second thing that is true because Jesus rose from the dead, Satan lost. This comes from Hebrews chapter 2. Since then the children, us, share in flesh and blood because we have a human body, he, Jesus, himself also partook of the same, became human, that through death Jesus might render powerless him who had the power of death, that is, the devil. So here's the second thing that's true. Because Jesus rose from the dead, Satan lost. Now, you might say, really? Satan lost? Look at all the abortion we have in America. Now we have gay marriage in America. Now we've got people being beheaded overseas for their Christian faith. What do you mean Satan lost? Well, you know, let's say this. When Jesus rose from the dead, he won the war. But God does allow Satan to win some battles. But we even need to say that when Satan wins a battle, it's ultimately still a loss for Satan. Think of it this way. When militant Muslims behead a Christian in Pakistan, Jesus wins. Because that Christian soul goes right to Jesus, not to the devil. Because Jesus rose from the dead, ultimately, Jesus wins everything and Satan loses everything. Third thing that is true because Jesus rose from the dead, I can talk about death. This comes from Hebrews chapter 2, verse 15. Jesus delivers those who through fear of death were subject to slavery all their lives. In other words, we don't have to be afraid of death anymore. We can talk about it. Let me ask you this question. How well does your family handle death? Have you talked about it with your children? My family didn't handle this so well. When I was in college, my dad was told that he had less than a year to live. And we just didn't talk about it. We all knew he was dying, and he slowly died for a year. And once, Dad took my brother and I into the living room and talked about the fact that he was going to die. And that was it. You know, Christians, we can talk about death. After Dad died, about a month after he died, I learned how to share the gospel with people. I had about 10 dreams where Dad was on his deathbed, and before I can get the words out, Jesus died for your sins, he'd always die on me. Well, 6 years after Dad died, my sister Ruthanna is dying in the hospital. And I'm not going to have dreams about her. And I went into her hospital room and I said, now do you understand, Ruthanna, we're sinners. You don't get to heaven by being good because we're not. We need Jesus who died on the cross, and you believe in the Lord Jesus, you'll be saved. And she said, I know, Tommy. She was a believer. But afterward, my brother was in the room. He says to me, how could you bring that up at a time like this? And I'm thinking, when would you like me to bring that up? After she dies? Listen, I hope you and your family can talk about death. I had a new convert that I was talking with in my office some time ago, and he says, he's terminally ill. He's talking freely about his death. And I said to him, you're doing pretty well. I know Christians who've been Christians for years who can't talk about this. Lutheran evangelist Dr. F.B. Meyer wrote this, my dear friend, to my surprise I have been told that my days and hours are numbered. It may be that before this reaches you, I shall have gone into the palace. Don't trouble to write. We shall meet in the morning. And what I say to Christians who are dying, even if the worst happens to you, the best happens to you. Look at the next thing that happens because Jesus rose from the dead. There is hope. I get this from 1 Thessalonians 4. Brothers, we do not want you to grieve as do the rest who have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with Jesus those who have fallen asleep in Jesus. Because Jesus rose from the dead, there is hope. You don't get the resurrection hope in other religions. In Hinduism, when you die, your hope is you come back to earth as a cow or as a human again, and you keep being reincarnated on earth until you're good enough. Then you dissolve into nothingness. Gandhi was a Hindu. 15 years before he died, Gandhi said, I must tell you in all humility that Hinduism, as I know it, entirely satisfies my soul, fills my whole being. I find a peace in the Upanishad writings that I miss even in the Sermon on the Mount. Just before his death, Gandhi wrote this, my days are numbered. I am not likely to live very long, perhaps a year or a little more. For the first time in 50 years, I find myself in the depths of despondency. All about me is darkness. I am praying for light. And that's how he died. Contrast Gandhi with President Andrew Jackson, 7th President of the United States, who wrote his own epitaph. Here it is. I have prepared a humble depository for my mortal body. Beside that wherein lies my beloved wife, where without any pomp or parade, I have requested when my God calls me to sleep with my fathers to be laid. for both of us there to remain until the last trumpet sounds to call the dead to judgment, when we shall rise together clothed with the heavenly body, promised to all who believe in our glorious Redeemer, who died for us that we might live, and by whose atonement I hope for a blessed immortality. Now, how would you rather die? Like Gandhi or like President Andrew Jackson? Because Jesus rose, we have the resurrection hope. John Wesley founded the Methodist Church in the 1700s in England, and people hated the Methodists because they left the Church of England and formed their own denomination. And John Wesley said, "The world may not like our Methodist people, but the world cannot deny that we die well." Because Jesus rose, he must be God. We know that Satan lost. We can talk about death. We have hope. Last thing that is true, because Jesus rose, we are being and will be changed. Let's talk about present tense. Because of Christ's resurrection, present tense, we are being changed. I get this from 2 Corinthians 3. "We all, with unveiled face, beholding the glory of the Lord, are being changed," present tense, "into his likeness, from one degree of glory to another, for this comes from the Lord who is the Spirit." If you truly believe in the risen Lord Jesus, he's changing you. I'll tell you what I thought of. I was a difficult child. My brother and I fought a lot in our house. My mother would say, "You boys are going to drive me to the asylum, and when I get there, don't bring me back." So I go to college. During college, I went to this Christian seminar. And the teacher said, "If you've ever hurt someone, you really should go apologize." So I went home to Omaha. This was really hard for me. And I remember standing in the doorway of our kitchen, and my mom is playing solitaire on the table there. And I said, "Mom, I just want to apologize for being such a disobedient, disrespectful child growing up, and for all the, you know, pain I caused you. I'm really sorry. Will you forgive me?" And I remember my mom looking up like, "Who is this kid?" Then I went to my brother, Mark. "You know, I haven't been a good older brother. I just, you know, I've made fun of you and I've mocked you, and I just want to tell you I'm sorry. Will you please forgive me?" And he too kind of But what was happening was Jesus was starting to change me. One thing that happens because of Christ's resurrection, present tense, he starts to change you. And then let's talk about the future tense. One day you'll be totally changed. This comes from Philippians 3. "From heaven we await a Savior, the Lord Jesus, who will change our lowly body to be like his glorious body. On the last day, we will be totally changed with perfect new resurrection bodies." You know, as a pastor, I've gone to lots of hospital beds and seen a lot of people like skeletons, and their body is yellow and they got tubes everywhere, or they've got sores, and it's depressing. But isn't it wonderful to know one day, Christian, we turn in this bag of bones for a perfect new resurrection body? Joseph Flax was a Jewish Christian. He pre-arranged to have this postcard sent out on the day he died. His friends got this postcard. "This is to announce, I moved out of the old mud house, arrived in glory land instantly. I am present with the Lord, though absent from the body. I find, as foretold, in his presence, joy forevermore, pleasure forevermore. I will look for you on the way up at the resurrection of the body. Till then, look up." Well, let's close here. Before Jesus rose from the dead, death read, ne plus ultra, nothing beyond. He rises from the dead, and now we know plus ultra. There's something beyond the grave. Five wonderful things are true because he rose. Number one, he must be God. Only God can raise himself from the dead. Number two, I can talk about death. I'm not afraid of death anymore. Number three, Satan lost. Number four, I have a resurrection hope. And number five, present tense, I am being changed. One day he will change me totally. Amen.
Welcome to the portion of the Pastor Study where we ask Pastor Brock to now share with us his knowledge of Scripture and his insights to answer questions we have regarding the Bible, our Lord, and our everyday walk with him. I'd like to invite you, if you do have a question, to send it to our website, which will come up at the end of the program, and we'll try to answer it for you on another program. Pastor Brock, you said that when in your sermon about that we're going to, our bodies are going to be changed. Mm-hmm. Will we actually have a body in heaven?
We do have bodies in heaven. You want to read 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Almost the whole chapter is about what kind of body we get in heaven. Now, it's going to be a spiritual body. It won't be the flesh and blood kind of body that we have. But you remember when Jesus rose from the dead? It was his body because it still had the nail prints, and he drank and ate fish to show the disciples this is a body. It's not a ghost, because a ghost does not have flesh and blood as you see that I have. So there's a sense in which it's a body, but it's a spiritual body.
Okay. So then I guess here's the question. Will we know our loved ones in heaven?
Yeah, people ask that question, and I think the answer is yes.
But if we're going to have a different body, are we going to look different?
Yeah, that's the question. Does an 8-day-old baby who dies, will that baby be a baby for eternity? Will my grandma, who died when she was 80-something, will she be 80-something for eternity?
Good question.
Well, there'll be perfect new bodies. I don't know how that works. I just don't know. But Jackie, will we know our loved ones? I think we will, because of the verse where Jesus says, you will see Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. If you're going to know that was Abraham and that was Isaac, I think you're going to know that was grandma. Yeah.
Okay. Will we be married when we're in heaven?
We will not. Remember the Sadducees said, Jesus, here's a woman who had 8 husbands, 7 of them died, and then she goes to heaven. Well, which of those 8 husbands is going to be her husband in heaven? And Jesus said, you don't get married in heaven. You're like the angels in heaven. Jackie, you won't be married to Fred in heaven, whether that's good news or bad. And you won't be, the reason we don't have marriage in heaven, we don't need to repopulate and have children, because you're eternal in heaven. So there is no marriage in heaven. I think you'll know that was my husband, but you won't be married to him.
Okay.
Yeah.
There's a way out for him.
There is. Come on.
So what does a person say to a loved one who's dying? Especially if you're not sure that person mm-hmm. is truly a believer.
Yeah. You just got to talk to them about the Lord. And you humbly do it, but you say, like I did with my sister, do you know for sure you're going to heaven when you die? Do you understand you have to put your faith in Jesus for the forgiveness of your sins? Or you hand them, if they're conscious and able to read, you give them a little gospel tract from the Christian bookstore on salvation. But yet you got to talk to them about the cross, that he died for your sins and rose from the dead.
Okay. I guess the next question then would be, does God give someone a chance to become a Christian after they die?
No.
So it's really important.
It's very important. It's not like when you die, if you've rejected Christ, you get another chance. It never says that in the Bible. Jesus says when the householder has shut the door, it's over. So.
Okay. The word Trinity is not in the Bible, right?
Yes, it's not.
So why do we teach it?
Okay, let's talk about Jehovah's Witnesses again. At the door, they'll tell you that the Trinity is of the devil, because the word Trinity is not in the Bible. And our response is, you're right, the word Trinity is not in the Bible, but the concept of the Trinity, one God and 3 equal and eternal persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, you can get that out of the first paragraph in the Bible. God created the heavens and earth, that's the Father. The Spirit of God was moving over the face of the waters, that's the Spirit. God said, let there be light. The Word of God is Jesus. Jackie, the last thing Jesus said on earth was to the disciples, go baptize them in the name singular of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Now, okay, if you don't want to call it the Trinity, don't, but the Bible teaches there's one God in 3 eternal persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. You got to believe that, and that's what the church calls the Trinity. Yeah.
Okay. So when Jesus rose from the dead, you're saying his body rose or just his spirit?
His body and his spirit rose.
When do they come back together, or
okay.
don't they?
Well, for Jesus, you know, they put his dead body in the grave. He's dead for 3 days. He rises from the dead, and you'll notice he does do something he didn't do before he rose, which is he passes in and out of doors. Remember that? The disciples are locked in the room, and Jesus pops up in the room without opening the door. So his body is different, but in some sense it is the same because it had the wounds, and he ate and drank the fish. And so, and you know, people ask, well, what was Jesus doing during those 3 days when he was dead? It says in 1 Peter chapter 3, I believe, that he went and he preached to the prison spirits in prison. And some people think that means they got a second chance. It doesn't say that. It just says he went and announced to them and preached to them. It doesn't say they got a second chance. It's kind of an obscure text, 1 Peter chapter 3, about Jesus going in preaching to the spirits in prison.
It's hard to imagine for, as a human being, being part body and part spirit.
Mm-hmm.
And
well, we are. We're right now body and spirit.
Okay.
Yeah. So it'll be a body, but it'll be a transformed body that we get, just like Jesus had his same body, but it was transformed.
But we still will recognize our loved ones.
In some way. I don't know that we'll look like we look. But, you know, people say, should I get cremated? And the history of the church, believe it or not, has been kind of against cremation. Well, yeah, but God will put them together again. Yes, he will. So I'm not saying it's a sin to get cremated. But the history of the church has been, for the honor of the resurrection of the body, why would we burn somebody's body when they die? Why do it? But it is true, no matter what. I mean, Henry Fonda was an atheist. The actor Henry Fonda was an atheist. When he died, they cremated him, and they spread his ashes all over, I don't know, the ocean or something. And I read that, and I thought, was he trying to get away from God, like God can't get me now? And no, because the New Testament teaches that the ocean will give up the dead in it. So the people that have rotted and have disintegrated by burial at sea, God will put them back together.
You know, so are you saying that it's wrong to go for cremation?
I'm not going to say it's a sin. In fact, I think the Catholic Church, which used to be really against it, has basically said it's not a sin. So I'm not saying it's wrong, but I wouldn't do it. I don't like the thought of being burned after I die. Why do that?
Okay.
I know it's cheaper, but so what? You know, don't get cremated. Don't get embalmed. Just go right in the grave if it's a money issue.
They can't do that anymore, though, can they?
I think it depends on the state. I'm not sure.
Yeah. Okay, so can you be a Christian and not believe that Jesus Christ had a resurrection?
No. Paul says in Romans chapter 10, if you confess with your lips Jesus is the Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. I mean, Jackie, at the liberal seminary that I went to years ago, there was a professor who I don't think believed in the bodily resurrection of Christ. Just his spirit rose. Well, the spirit of Martin Luther King rose too. You know, and just because someone lives on in their teaching, that is not the resurrection. I don't think you can deny the resurrection of Christ and be a believer. So,
you know, you talk about our churches being unified in that and having unity in the church and such. Is there ever a time when a church split is necessary that it should happen?
There is. I mean, Jackie, we left the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America years ago because they're paying for abortions with offering dollars. And since we left, now they're ordaining practicing homosexuals, and they bless homosexual behavior. Some of the professors don't believe Jesus is the only way to go to heaven. We all have to live with disagreements because you're never going to agree totally with whatever denomination you belong to. But when it gets to the big stuff and people are teaching you don't have to repent and believe in Christ to be saved, time to jump ship for another denomination.
Do you think it's ever proper for a church to tell people how they should vote? We have elections coming up in that, and you see all these pamphlets and everything that come out from the churches.
Yeah.
And
I think it's proper to say, I'm not going to tell you vote for A over B. I probably won't name the names. But I am going to tell you, if you're a Christian, vote for people who are not going to force Christians to do homosexual marriage. Vote for people that are going to stand up for unborn children. Vote for people that are going to appoint Supreme Court justices who are not, you know, killing babies like we do now. So I think on the moral issues, we tell people how to vote, you know, and let them look up who believes what.
You know, Pastor Brock, you've talked about predestination before in that, but where does the Bible teach predestination?
Mm-hmm. You want to read Romans chapters 9, 10, and 11, where the Apostle Paul gives the fullest teaching of predestination in the Bible. Just so people know, predestination means that God controls everything. He predestines everything. And if you're a believer, it's only because before you were born, he predestined you to come to Christ. So Romans 9, 10, 11, Ephesians chapter 1, God predestines things according to his will. So there's a number of places that teach predestination.
But don't some people argue about predestination, though, because of the fact that if you're predestined, you don't have to do anything to get into heaven?
The truth is, well, we can't do anything to get into heaven. It's all the grace of God. But the truth is, if you're truly predestined, then by the Holy Spirit, you repent of your sins, you believe in Christ, and you follow him. So you can't say, well, I'm predestined so that I can just live like the devil. No, because if you're living like the devil, that shows you ain't been predestined.
Okay. So we've got 1 minute left.
Okay.
And you know, with all the things we've been talking about in the last few shows and that, I think we'd be good if you would pray for this country.
Let's
right
do
at this
that.
Time.
Everybody, let's pray for America. Just take a minute. And Father, we just pray for our beloved country that has become so corrupt in recent years with just the pornography and all the garbage now that is aired on television. Just, it's so indecent now. And Lord, with the homosexual marriage and premarital sex and abortion, God, we deserve your wrath. And it started, all the violence now in the streets in America. We would pray, Lord, somehow you would turn this nation away from sin and back to you. God, do whatever you have to make America yours again. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thanks for being with us this week. We pray that God would be with you this week, granting you his richest blessings until we're together again next time.
Thank you for watching The Pastor Study. You can watch more of our programs at pastorstudy.org. We are on the air preaching the gospel of Christ because of our generous support of you, our viewers. Would you consider supporting our ministry? You may do so at pastorstudy.org or write The Pastor Study, P.O. Box 41294, Minneapolis, Minnesota 55441. May the blessing of our one triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be with you today and always.